Luke May looks like the Waluigi version of Kevin Love.
Jesus. All right.
You can start the show now.
All right. Want to make sure we got all our bullshit out for a bit. All right. Hello, welcome to the Keep Sounding Podcast. This is your second episode of 2019. This is Brian, joined by my regulars, John and Brad. John, how are you doing this evening?
Good.
Brad, how are you? It's been a while.
Hey, what's up?
You weren't here last week. I know you had a lot of important CSR manager stuff meetings going on, so we'll give you a pass. Billy is joining us again this week, and he should be joining us throughout the rest of the draft time. Billy, how are you doing this evening?
Pretty well. How are you?
Oh, I'm just splendid. So, if you've been reading along with the site this week, we've been focusing a lot on the defense. So, to start off the CSR podcast, I'd like to talk about Carolina implementing a little bit of the 3-4 defense. Doesn't sound like they're going to make a full-blown switch, but it sounds like it's going to be, they're going to run a lot of the multiple scheme type fronts, you know, a lot of 3-4, a lot of 4-3, at least that's what it sounds like conceptually. So I'll start with John on this. What do you think of all of that talk going on throughout the offseason?
I think it's a good thing. I can't remember who it was, but I heard somebody, I think it was Kyle Van Noy. I heard an interview with Kyle Van Noy, and he talked about how the Patriots don't do the thing where, like, this is our game plan and you have to game plan for us. They actually game plan for other people, and I think anything where you can vary your looks and vary what you do to be matchup dependent is a good thing. So I see no problems with it.
It's amazing what happens when you change up your game plan a little bit and be a little unpredictable on defense instead of just running the 4-3 into the ground. It's amazing what happens. Brad, give me your take on that.
Pretty much what John said.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that when you run the exact same front over and over and over again and you don't adjust to what the other team is trying to do, you set yourself up for failure. And I think it's a great idea that Ron wants to incorporate more 3-4 looks. So hopefully we actually do it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that he hasn't because of the whole, you know, having a background with it in San Diego. Billy, give us your thoughts on how that could work out, how that could be implemented, maybe what kind of personnel they need to bring in.
Yeah, so I think, you know, if you go back to the San Diego defenses, which I saw a couple games already back in 2010, they didn't really have like that much high end talent on their defense. Obviously Eric Weddle was like one guy everyone knows, and their secondary was pretty good. So I can't really Quentin Jammer, I know former Panthers legend Antoine Kayson. obviously Weddle, and so they had like pretty good players in their secondary. But their linebackers and their defensive front weren't really like household names. And so I think what he did, especially in the 3-4s, did a lot of matchup coverages. And what he would do essentially is have the linebacker act as they have different like terminologies. One guy on Twitter, James Light, he calls when a linebacker is like essentially acting, playing multiple roles and breaking up crossing routes, he's called a rat. And what the coverage essentially does is anytime like a crossing route, like they play the Patriots, and the Patriots obviously love running those crossing routes to like Edelman or Amendola, whatever. So like if multiple crossing routes are coming within the zone. You know, the linebacker just like completely like lays a hit on the receiver because I think it's still legal within like the 5 yards at the time. And
it is.
And so
it
still is. So that was a role that the linebacker would do. And it was a lot of like other pattern match coverages, which I was pretty impressed with. It really died. And then you go back and look at their performance the last 4 games of this season. I thought they played pretty well, even coverage wise. I know the Browns, you know, kind of did some things to them on the ground, which, you know, that happens. But I thought, you know, through the air, I thought the Panthers played pretty well. That game, I just felt like Mayfield made some really spot on throws, which unfortunately, I don't think any defense would be able to stop. So, I agree in some respects. I think this will be good because like in the past, they would run essentially their same coverages and their same defense over and over and over again. And that was fine because like their defense had so much talent. But now with a lot of that talent in some ways gone or some of that talent just losing, not being as good as they once were, it makes sense to be multiple like the Patriots are, because like the Patriots, we don't really think of them as like they don't really have that much talent on their defense, but they do a really good job of scheming. And hopefully I think that with Rivera's pass in San Diego and even those last 3 games of the year, I think you can potentially see them improve in other areas that we didn't see this past year. I think they're probably going to need more defensive linemen. I think the linebacker position is fine. And I know everyone is clamoring for like an elite edge rusher, and I am too, to be honest. But I don't think you can get away with guys like Mario Addison and another like mid-tier guy that you can probably find in free agency or the draft.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think the one thing I'm looking for as if we're going to really run the 3-4 like quite a bit, not as just like a small wrinkle, I really want to see them find like a natural 3-4 outside linebacker, like the edge guy. They're not easy to come by, but that would make a huge difference in this defense, in my opinion. Like somebody who has run that kind of defense, has rushed the passer, has played some coverage. You know, doesn't have to be like the next Von Miller or Terrell Suggs, but I think potentially at 16, they could find that guy really easily. What do you guys think about that?
You know who would be a good person for a 3-4 defense? Outside linebacker?
Who would that be?
Thomas Davis.
You think so? As a 3-4 edge?
I mean, not like just as somebody who can do both, not that he would be like particularly great as a pass rusher, but he has, you know, we've used him as a pass rusher before. And I think it just, you know, so because I think with most of the personnel right now that we have on the team right now, like even if we do a 3-4 look, you kind of know where that fourth rusher is going to come from. Because like if you put Mario Addison as a stand up edge, he's still just basically a defensive end. Like, you know, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to drop into coverage all that often. So like Thomas Davis, even if
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, just someone that could do both, even if like he's not, you know, a really great pass rusher. There's at least like this guy might come, he might drop back. We don't know yet. But most of the other people on the team would be like, well, that Mario Addison's not dropping into coverage. F.A. Obata's not dropping into coverage, even if they're standing up at the line of scrimmage.
I guess my concern would be like Thomas Davis setting the edge consistently against an offensive tackle in the 3-4 if he was the outside edge guy. I don't know if he could do that. Billy, do you disagree with there?
No, I'm just going back to John's point there. Sorry, one second.
Oh, yeah, take your time.
Yeah, that's going back. No, sorry. So just going back to John's point, I think a lot of people get caught up in the 3-4-4-3 distinction because while, yes, a lot of teams aren't really coming out and even in odd fronts on defense, I think what matters is if they're playing a one gap or two gap on their defensive line. And essentially what that means is the defensive line, especially like how many gaps are they occupying in on the line when they are asked, you know, on every down. Like in San Diego and even in Carolina, like they've always been a one gap team. I think, you know, if you look at a defense like the Texans, they run two gap principles, and even a 3-4 defense like the Rams, they run, you know, their one gap. And so I think that it's pretty much the same, because like you're still occupying that one gap in the, you know, on the front. And I don't see that being a huge difference. Now, as far as the edge rushers go, it's similar too, because I know a lot of people, like when Wade Phillips, he took the defensive coordinator job with the Broncos in 2014 or 15, whenever it was. And, you know, they immediately became a 3-4 team. A lot of people wondered, like, what kind of 3-4 outside linebacker would Von Miller be? And obviously he turned out to be like still really good. So I don't know if it matters too much, because I still think that you're going to be like, you're probably just going to be in a 2-point stance as opposed to a 3-point stance when you're lining up.
Agreed. Yeah, it's still, like you were saying, it's a lot of the same principles, regardless, 3-4, yeah. 4-3, whatever look you're showing. It's not like you're going to suddenly blow the quarterback's mind because you decide to shift to a 3-4. It's still a lot of the same concept. Obviously...
What you eating there, Billy?
Oh, sorry. It's not a case.
It's okay.
It's not a case of that, like Brian likes.
Hey, you should see John. He's over here cooking up steaks while he's on the podcast. So you're fine.
Billy doesn't understand those jokes, but there have been episodes where like I get on right when I get home, and we have this little pizza oven, and it's very compact. It's just like a rotating tray, and I like bring it into my room and make pizza like while we're recording, because it's. I was hungry. I've done it a couple times. They make fun of me for it.
Well, I mean, to be clear, it's a fig bar from that I got from Trader Joe's the other day. So,
healthy guy here. Healthy snacker.
Yeah. Well, the snacks, I got to try to keep it a little clean during the week.
During the week. Calories don't count on the weekend.
Oh no, definitely not.
Nope.
Never for nobody.
Oh shit, where was I going? So regardless of, you know, whatever the Panthers decide to do personnel wise, whether they become a multiple front, whether they are pretty much 4-3 and just use the 3-4 a little more than they used to, they're going to need defensive linemen. Like, I think we can all agree on that. Looking at free agency, I know we discussed this a little bit last week, but there's been some more, you know, discussion about guys getting franchise tagged and whatnot. The Panthers are going to have to pony up for a defensive lineman in free agency, maybe even two, if they decide to go in and try and address that before the draft. In my mind, I think Ron Rivera is the type of coach to address that position first before going into the draft, but I don't know who he's going to plug that hole with. And we were discussing Jadeveon Clowney today in the Slack chat, or I guess that was yesterday. Trading, you know, James Bradbury and so-and-so draft picks for a guy like that. Is there like a feasible possibility that the Panthers could get somebody like Jadeveon Clowney or someone of that echelon where they're an instant three-down starter in free agency? Do we think that? I'll start with you, Billy, but
yeah, I don't think Clowney is feasible. I just think that he's going to cost way too much, even if he was available.
Yeah.
That's fair. Like, he's like in the same tier. Yeah, he's like DeMarcus Lawrence and him, I think, are like not happening here.
I think you just crushed Brad's dreams.
Hello?
I'm here. Hello?
Yeah.
You here?
Are you there, Billy?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that just would not be a very Panthers thing to do anyway. Like, we don't have very much cap space, even if we do all the cuts and stuff that we could to save money. It's not a very great I mean, it would be great to have a good defensive end like that, but it would basically be the only non-draft acquisition we could make. Yeah, well, there goes Brad.
Oh, no. Brad, oh, why?
It's okay.
Yeah,
one guy who makes sense, but I think he's actually going to have like a stronger market than people realize is Preston Smith.
I absolutely agree with that, 100%.
Yeah, didn't you bring his name up last week, Brian?
I brought up
more. Or one of you guys.
He
did.
Brought up. I think he brought up Preston Smith because I think I brought up Morgan and Graham.
No.
But yeah.
Oh yeah. So we discussed him last week.
Yeah.
So I was reading Joe Person's like little Q&A chat that he did at lunch today. I mean, there were some pretty good questions. You know, one guy that he brought up, which actually kind of makes sense, is Shaquille Barrett. I don't know if you guys brought him up last week.
Uh-uh.
I mean, he played in the 3-4 for like the Broncos, like the past, you know, three or four seasons. He was backing up Von Miller. I think he's pretty productive too. I think he would. The only problem with him is, which I don't think will be a problem in the 3-4, is his lack of length. He's never been like a really imposing figure. You know, he doesn't have like the 34-inch arms that you see from like your top edge rushers, but he was pretty productive for Broncos, and I don't know if they're going to be bringing him back because it seems like Denver's in some cap issues to sort out. They just signed Flacco or traded for Flacco, and they're probably going to release Case Keenum, and that's not going to be cheap to get rid of him. So I think that he's a guy to keep an eye on if they're going to try to attract a guy in free agency.
Shaquille Barrett. Interesting. One thing I also would like to bring up is just the three, specifically like defensive linemen and in regards to not edge rushers, like defensive tackles, 3-4 defensive ends, because Carolina is still kind of lacking in that department as well. Kyle Love is going to hit free agency. I don't know if he'll stay in free agency, but you know, we have K'Wan Short. Dontari Poe was relatively unproductive. Wes Horton set to hit free agency. So there's a lot of needs there as well. It's not even just like Panthers fans are like defensive end, edge rusher. We need those. But there's more to it than that with this defensive line now. Like they really need to revamp it altogether, essentially, aside from maybe K'Wan Short and Dontari Poe. Billy, do you have anybody in mind as far as like free agents, or we can even jump into the draft if you'd like, with guys that might be able to address those positions?
As an edge rusher or defensive lineman?
Like defensive lineman or 3-4 defensive end, not edge, like the 3-4 defensive tackles, essentially.
Okay, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they brought Kyle Love back. I know he's had some experience in that scheme. I don't know in this scheme, but like he's had experience in like a 3-4.
Yeah, he was a starting 3-4 defensive end for the Patriots when they were in the Super Bowl. So yeah, he does.
I wouldn't be surprised.
There.
Yeah, I don't want to be. I would not be surprised if they brought him back. I think it's probably time to like move on from Wes Horton. I don't know. It's been like so many years. I mean, he's an okay like rotation player. I don't know. Doesn't really seem like worth everyone's time to bring him back.
Yeah, they kind of like made him a co-starter with Peppers last year, and that really didn't work out. What were you gonna say, John?
Wes Horton's like. In that tier of NFL players where there's just like hundreds and hundreds of them available, and the only thing that sets him apart from that hundreds and hundreds of players is that he's just been here before.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Billy, you here? You good?
I'm good.
So I guess we'll jump back. I guess I'll just start talking about the draft on defense, if that's cool with everybody.
Yep, I'm going to clap again so I know where we start talking for real.
Wait, did you guys hear
God damn it.
Oh, sorry.
Leave that in the podcast, John. Leave it
okay.
In. Go ahead, Billy.
What are you going to say, Billy?
No, I was going to talk about something that I read in Joe Person's little Q&A today.
Go ahead. For it. Let's start with that.
Please let it be what I think it's going to be.
Well, yeah, it's about Darryl Williams. Yeah,
it is what I wanted it to be. All right.
So he mentioned it on Twitter yesterday that Darryl Williams is a priority, which I don't agree with. But then today he kind of – yeah, he said re-signing Darryl Williams is like a priority for them.
Never underestimate the stupid that can come from Charlotte, North Carolina.
God fucking damn it. Anyway.
And then so he countered – so today, like, in his Q&A, like, someone asked him how much of a priority is Darryl Williams, and he said fairly high. And then they asked him, like, what's the holdup? And Joe Person replied that, you know, they probably want, you know – excuse me, Williams' camp probably is going to want Matt Khalil money 5 years for an extension, even though he's coming off a season-ending injury.
Let it be known right now, February 20th, 10.05 p.m., if the Panthers sign Darryl Williams to a Matt Khalil contract, I will never support them again. I will stop rooting for them. I will still write for CSR because I will be a bitter asshole, even more than I already am now. But that'll be the end of my giving a shit fandom about the Panthers if they're stupid enough to give Darryl Williams, what was it, 5 years, $75 million a year after he had ACL injury? Like, that's the dumbest thing. And that's saying a lot for this franchise, but that is the dumbest thing they could do.
Wow, just incredible. Incredible. I'm speechless.
We already have Taylor Moten at right tackle. Why do we need Darryl Williams at Matt Khalil money?
It's just bad allocation of resources.
Like, if he was a Pro Bowl left tackle and we didn't have one, yeah, I get it, kinda. But we already have a right tackle.
But we have a left
who's
tackle.
Better than Darryl Williams.
We have a left
and
tackle.
We have a left tackle that we're going to pay $14 million next year.
But we
why would you sign Darryl Williams to that kind of contract? It's stupid.
Because we have a left tackle who's in the best shape of his life, Brad, obviously.
Well, he's not in the best shape of his life. He's in the shape of his life.
The greatest.
You got to leave out the word best.
Life. No, the greatest shape.
What I don't understand is this urgency to re-sign him and then play Taylor Moton in a position that he's barely played in his entire like football career on the left side. Like, he's literally never done it that, like, outside of like a few snaps in that week one game.
Is he left-handed? Maybe that explains it.
I don't know what it is. I just don't understand this, like, you know, the thinking behind it. Because, like, I don't think, like, the report is full of crap because I have seen other people, like...
No, I think Joe Person is accurate. I don't think he's lying at all. I believe that the Panthers are making Darryl Williams a priority and that they're willing to pay him $75 goddamn million over 5 years to play right tackle worse than Taylor Moton would play right tackle for a fifth of the amount of money that it would cost. That does not surprise me in the least.
God. I'm so just exhausted.
We haven't had a – we don't have a pass rush. But yet they're going to spend that much money on Darrell Williams. Like, it just – it doesn't make sense. If you want to give somebody 5 years, $75 million, go get Jadeveon fucking Clowney, you know?
And if they wanted to give someone that much money on the offensive line, they should have just kept Norwell last year.
Yeah, keep Andrew Norwell. If you want to spend $70 million on an offensive lineman, keep your all-pro left guard, you know? Don't keep the guy that you've already replaced for the next 3 years at a fraction of the cost. I mean, it's like the Graham Gano, Harrison Butker situation, only it's 10 times worse because it's a whole lot more money. Like, why are you going to pay a premium for something when you can have it better quality for less money? Like, it just, it doesn't, I don't get it. Like, I don't understand why we have to be dumb. Like, it just, it blows my mind.
So reading a little bit about the reporting that's going on with these negotiations, I recall back in training camp, I think it was Jordan Rodriguez at the time. He said sometime around like after the draft that they were going to work on an extension for Williams. And then even in the training camp, I think this is when Joe Person was still working at the Observer. I think both of them reported that the two sides had talked, but they were kind of drastically apart in their valuation of the player. So,
yeah, I vaguely remember that too. And then he got hurt.
And then obviously he got hurt, so that kind of put the timetable off. So part of me thinks like, okay, maybe they don't have a very like high opinion of him. And coupled with that, with the injury, like how much is Marty Herney going to learn from his past self? Because if this is the Marty Herney that a lot of us fear, then I can see him caving and giving him like – and caving into like the demands of the agent. Because I do feel like Williams will get paid in the open market.
Oh, somebody's going to give him 5 years, $70 million. There's no question. Somebody's going to do it. But it needs to be one of these teams that have a lot of cap space and need an offensive lineman. Somebody like Oakland or Las Vegas or whatever they're going to be. It doesn't need to be a team that already has somebody playing his position better than he did on a rookie contract. You know, like I said, if this were like, if we didn't have Matt Khalil and we needed a left tackle, it makes sense to a degree. Like if Darrell Williams was a left tackle and we needed one, then yeah, he's probably kind of hamstrung and Marty has to at least try to get him. But this is just, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like buying hurricane insurance if you live in Kansas. Like it doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
What do you think, Brian? Or...
Me or John?
You're Brian.
Not you.
Oh man. So I almost understand the logic of trying to re-sign Darrell Williams in the sense that they think that Moton might be a good left tackle. There's obviously not a lot of proven tape behind it, but for God's sakes, they're already spending how much on fucking Matt Khalil as it is, and they're going to spend money on Darrell Williams to really only play right tackle. I mean, I don't think there's been any indication from being drafted to now to say that Darrell Williams is worth a damn at left tackle. So
no, there isn't.
It honestly wouldn't surprise me for them to put Darrell Williams at right guard and move Trey Turner. Like, that's how stupid I think the Panthers are. Like, I have no confidence that they will do the right thing at all.
Maybe Trey Turner's a good left guard. Maybe.
No, we tried that.
The first time Trey Turner came in at left tackle, like Khalil Mack, like completely abused him in that Raiders game.
Fucking disaster. And I like Trey Turner. Don't get me wrong; he's a great right guard, but a left tackle, he is not.
He's only like 6'2", 6'3". Like, of course, he's not going to be able to hold up at like any tackle position.
I was saying left guard. I mean,
yeah, I don't know.
Just put Darrell Williams at left guard. I mean, don't move. You don't need to move Trey. Like, there's no point.
Also, another interesting thing here is that I believe this is like the second year in a row where Williams has, like, you know, gone left in the season. He's gotten injured for the season and had his replacements actually played better than he did. I guess we can argue about whether the replacement played better than he did, but I think this is the second year in a row where Williams has been replaced and that position hasn't been a drop off. Because it happened in 2015 with Mike Remmers. Because remember, week one, Darrell Williams was a starter on the right side. And I think they were playing Jacksonville. And then he got hurt. And then Remmers came in and he became the starting right tackle for the rest of that season. And then obviously this past year with, when he got injured and Moton took his spot at right tackle.
Yikes.
I would rather see the Panthers re-sign Byron Bell and put him at left tackle than re-sign Darrell Williams for $70+ million.
I don't think it'll be $70+ million. I do think it'll be like in the $50 million range, though. I don't think I would give him more.
I wouldn't give Darrell Williams more than 3 years, $35 million. I wouldn't do it because we don't know. We don't even know if he can walk. Like, his knee – do we even have video evidence that he can get up off of his couch and walk to the mailbox yet? Like
– I mean, this is the second year in a row. You know, again, it's the second year where he's gotten left a season early because of injury, so.
Yeah, I mean, he's – I hate to use this label because it's football and all that, but injury prone kind of starts to show up in the old scouting report, you know?
To be fair, the Panthers kind of forced him back in 2018.
Nobody forces anybody to do anything,
well,
Brian.
They shouldn't have let him play. It's somebody's fault.
I will agree with.
I was going to say, that's somebody's fault, and you can't blame Williams for it because every player is going to try and come back and play. That's just how the fuck they are, unless they're Matt Khalil. He's got his supermodel fucking wife. And he's making $14 million this year. God damn it. I'm so angry right now.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Billy.
So let's move on to a hypothetical world where they don't re-sign him and they address some other places on the defensive side of the ball or even offensive side of the ball. Could we see the Panthers make a play at a cornerback, maybe? I mean,
I think they might draft one.
Well, like Munnerlin's I feel like Munnerlin, it's almost like a foregone conclusion at this point. I feel like Munnerlin's gone. Like,
nah.
You don't think so?
No, I think he's gone.
They love Munnerlin.
Even Joe reported that it's all but certainty that him and Torrey Smith are gone, which shouldn't be a surprise.
No, Torrey Smith absolutely should go because we don't need him anymore and there's no cap penalty for getting rid of him.
Yeah.
Like, there's no dead money at all. So, because I think even with Captain Munnerlin, there's some dead money. It's not a lot, but there's some.
They get cap relief if they release him. It's not a lot, but they do get money back.
It's like $2 or $3 million in dead cap to get rid of him. You know, yeah. No pun intended, but like with Torrey, it's none. Like all he has is base salary, so it's a foregone conclusion.
I mean,
but knowing Marty Herney, he'll probably trade Curtis Samuel or some shit.
Oh my God, don't say that.
Just to keep Torrey on the roster.
Jesus,
I know John would love that.
Yeah, John fucking loves it. Mute his mic. Yes. He can giggle to himself.
It was muted because you guys were talking about stuff, and I didn't want to just be breathing in the background.
Fucking hell. God damn it, Daryl Williams. So I was reading a couple mock drafts this week where like 3, 4 or even 5 defensive ends get picked in the first top 12 picks, which means that Carolina would not be in position for a defensive lineman. I know that everybody is like, the Panthers need defensive linemen, the Panthers need defensive linemen, but that is a very realistic thing because pass rushers are something that every team can use. Whether they have them already or they need them, like, every team can use another one. So if that were to happen in the draft, what do you guys think they should do? Should they go ahead and try to get the next defensive end? Should they try and go for a defensive tackle? I know, Billy, you've talked about a couple defensive tackles in your film breakdowns. Should they go for an offensive lineman? Go ahead, Billy. I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think, again, I want to be clear. I think when we discussed it earlier, defensive tackle would essentially be a 3-4 defensive end, and they'd be a regular 4-3 defensive tackle if they go like dime or nickel. And there's certainly a lot of talent in that position in this draft. Exciting talent, too. It's not like, you know, these guys are duds in any way. And even if I still believe that even if they were playing the same 4-3 scheme they played under Sean McDermott or Steve Wilks, that the defensive tackles should be addressed because I don't think they've gotten enough production out of it. I think I discussed this last week. But yeah, there's some really good guys. Like Ed Oliver, for some reason, continues to be mocked in the teens. And I don't for the life of me see that happening. He was really productive. He's a 5-star recruit who went to Houston. Which doesn't really happen. I think Tom Herman was a factor. And then, looking at it, he was productive at Houston and, you know, he's super like freaky athletic. And like next week when he puts on a show at the combine, I expect him to probably like start getting mocked in the top 10 and eventually get drafted in that area. Another guy, I did a breakdown on Draymond Jones. He's good. I think he's more in the second round range. I also expect him to test well. There's a few other defensive linemen. Jeffrey Simmons, I don't know if they're going to consider him because he tore his ACL while training, and plus he had some off-field stuff. But he would fit really well if he were healthy and probably didn't have the off-field question marks. But I think from my perspective, it's they could probably get away with, you know, adding a couple defensive linemen in free agency because I don't think the offensive line market is that appealing to me. And plus they're probably going to spend it all on Daryl Williams anyway.
God damn it.
But no, in all seriousness, I just feel like they can probably get a really good left guard or even like a left tackle prospect in the first like round. I think that is certainly feasible because like if there's going to be, let's just say 2 or 3 quarterbacks who get drafted, like 4 or 5 edge rushers and maybe like 3 defensive linemen, I think you're still going to get like a quality offensive line prospect like Jonah Williams from Alabama. He would be like at the top of my board if he's still available.
Yeah, it's certainly seeming like this is going to be a draft that's deep with defensive linemen anyway. So an offensive lineman in the first after the top-tier guys go might make sense. Brad, what are your thoughts on if the Panthers drafted a defensive tackle for some reason in the first 2 rounds?
I wouldn't hate it as long as it's Ed Oliver.
Okay.
I don't know if I trust his gut and his heart because he didn't want to wear a jacket. On the sideline, you know, coach told him to put on a jacket and he didn't want to. I don't know if there's discipline there. But no, seriously, I think he's probably, like Billy said, he's the best defensive tackle in this on the board. I don't think there's a chance in hell that he's there at 16 overall. I don't see it. I don't think he's going to make it past 10. Like, I think, like Billy Eve said, I think he's going to be the guy that at the combine, everyone's going to be like, who the shit is this guy? And he's going to end up going in the top 10, top 12. So, you know, I'm not even going to entertain the thought of drafting him because I don't think we should trade up for him. And I don't think he'll fall to 16. He's in that. He's really good, but we don't have a shot group.
The dream Carolina offseason, they re-signed Daryl Williams to top tackle money, and they trade up for Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Oh, God. No, if the they Panthers trade up, if they trade up anything in the first round, they are even more delusional than I thought they'd be.
Yeah, they totally are going to.
Oh, my God.
It's going to happen. We put it into the world to
put the icing on the cake. They're going to trade our comp pick to move up and get a defensive tackle.
Oh no,
that's the thing. Like
after I read that,
unless
thing,
you're looking for a quarterback, there's really no reason to trade up.
I was about to say, nope. Like after I read that 538 article about that, there's no such thing as a good drafter. That it's almost all random chance. Anybody that trades up. Unless, like you said, it's for a quarterback, which is, you know, a very particular skill set and a little bit easier to evaluate, maybe, or more necessary to evaluate, I guess. If you trade up for anything else, you're dumb.
I agree.
Because you're basically just taking weighted, you're just basically buying weighted lottery tickets.
Just trust your scouting, trust your board, and when a guy falls and you see him there and you're like, hey, we had a first-round grade on this guy. We actually happen to need a player at the position he plays. Draft him. Like, if you pick 16th, don't worry that, you know, Mel Kiper said he shouldn't get picked until 37. Like, if you see him at 16 and you need him, then just fucking draft him. Don't worry about it. Like, don't draft a kicker in the first round or, you know, shit like that. But, you know, just trust your people and just get the people you want to get. And don't trade up. Don't do it, Marty. Don't trade up. It's a dumb idea. But to answer your question, Brian, if it's not Ed Oliver, I don't want them to draft a defensive tackle in the first round. And if the mock drafts where all the good defensive ends go in the top 12, top 15, I would rather them take an offensive lineman. You know, Cody Ford, Jonah Williams, somebody like that. I would much rather them do that or draft a free safety.
Music to my ears. go ahead, John.
I don't really, yeah, it's pretty much what Brad said. Unless there's something very odd happening, there's no reason there shouldn't be a free safety or defensive end or offensive lineman, particularly tackle, that's worthy of going in that at our first round pick. Like I can't imagine a scenario where it's like there's a defensive tackle or a linebacker or something that's just so much better than anybody at any of those positions that it's not worth taking.
Oh, God, they're going to draft a linebacker, aren't they? They're going to draft that guy from, what is it, LSU?
Well, I don't even think he'll be available.
Yes. I hope not, because if he is, that's who we'll draft.
I kind of know with these draft guys, like, about a month ago, they were saying, like, that wide receiver was, like, a major need for the Panthers and they should draft one in the first round. I just like I, for the life of me, I'm like, what are you guys talking about? And then for some reason, like a bunch of these draft guys just like teamed up and just completely like invaded my mentions. And
you the only wide receiver we should draft in the first round is DK Metcalf because he probably can play left tackle.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I think it is, Billy? Billy, you know what I think it is? I feel like just you know with like recreational scouting, like. You know, draft people, is that there's kind of a tendency to overvalue, like, glamour positions because they're more
fun. Yeah,
that's 100%
true. Yeah, they're more fun to watch.
Another thing that kind of irks me, and that's why, like, I never really – like, I don't really care about mock drafts because I just know, like, especially, like, when a Kiper or McShay or, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, whoever's doing it, like, I know, like, they don't watch all 32 teams that closely. Yeah, that's why when like I read like whatever Joe Person or someone on the beat is saying that they can draft, like I'll read it and see, like, okay, maybe that's an area that they could potentially address. Yeah, that's just kind of like how I feel about it. I don't really take anything to in consideration with mocks until like probably April.
Yeah.
Well, there's only so many mocks you can do. Like, there's only so many combinations. Like, we all know that Nick Bosa is going number one overall. We all know that the Alabama offensive lineman is going to go in the top 10, most likely. We all know that some of these Clemson defensive linemen are going to go in the top half of the first round. We all know that at least one, if not two, quarterbacks are going to leap into the top 15 because teams get desperate. Drew Locke is going to get overdrafted. Somebody's going to make the mistake of spending a top 10 pick on Drew Locke. You know, the good Josh Allen is going to get drafted early. You know, there's so many guarantees that you can't do but so many mock drafts before you're just repeating the same one over and over again. And that's why I hate them. Like, I hate your mock draft. I don't even care who you are. Like, I don't like your mock draft. I don't want to read your mock draft. I don't give a shit that you spent all day on it. I don't care that you traded down and that you accumulated 15 third round picks and you bundled those together and you moved down into the sixth round and you managed to draft Nick Bosa 195th overall and FanSpeak gave you an A+ for your draft grade and that you set, you made the Panthers a Super Bowl contender because you got Nick Bosa in the sixth round. I don't give a shit. I don't care.
I know.
You made Brian cry.
That's.
I'm laughing because we've had this exact rage conversation in our Slack chat before. So
that's your boy smoke wagon.
Oh man, don't even.
I don't care. Like, and I know that sounds mean, but. And it's not just Panthers fans. It's every team. Every team has fans that do this shit.
I mean, it is a pretty, like,
I just
fun exercise. It's just never.
It's fun, I guess. I mean, like, it's like a video game in a way. Like, you can pick all this, but, like, be real about it. Like, don't be like, oh, I traded down from the 12th pick overall, and I got all the way into the third round without giving anything else up, and guess what? I got Josh Allen. Like, no, you fucking didn't. That's not possible. That's not going to happen. Like, unless he kills an orphanage full of kids the day before the draft, the dude's going in the top five. Like, it's not...
Yeah, you know, it's not real. Let's not forget about Lel Collins, though. Just saying, Brad. Anything is possible.
Yeah, but he still went early, didn't he?
He was undrafted.
Oh, that's right. I was thinking about the other dude. what's his name? The one that got caught smoking a bong.
Oh, yeah, Laremy
Tunsil. That's who I was thinking about. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he was literally smoking pot. On draft night is when it leaked, and he still got, what was he, like 15th overall or something like that?
And he's been, like, really, really good for them. Yeah. So it's almost like.
Yeah. Teams don't care about that shit. They're going to draft the guys they want. I mean, they just.
Well, no, even last year.
I mean, you know, Tyreek Hill got drafted. Antonio Callaway got drafted. You know. Joe Mixon got drafted. Like, teams don't give a shit. If you can play football, they're going to draft you. They're not going to just not draft you at all. So you in your mock draft, when a good player goes in the third round, it's most of the time it's not realistic.
What were you saying, Billy?
I think Brian, or excuse me, Brad is right there. Yeah, I think it was 2 years ago, the Gerrion Conley, he had questions arise like about a week before the draft, something about maybe a sexual assault or someone complained.
I remember that. Yeah. Yep.
And he still went in the first round.
Yep. The Raiders picked
him. He's been pretty good for them too. So he clearly has a lot of talent.
My
draft bad people is the lesson.
And I need to clarify this. This isn't my commentary on whether or not they should get drafted, because I think that if you get busted for something like domestic violence, you probably should not be drafted, depending on the situation. But that doesn't mean they won't get drafted. NFL teams care about one thing, and one thing only: will you help us win football games for the 4 years or five, depending on what round it is, that you're here? Like, that's all they care
about.
Or if
the Panthers, if you've played for them before. But yes.
Or if you're the Panthers, are you a nice guy? And in 5 years, can we overpay you instead of drafting your replacement?
Agreed. I think my thing with the mock drafts is I saw Andre Dillard, who's like one of, I think he's like considered the best pass protecting tackle in this draft. I've seen him mocked from anywhere from the first to the third round by NFL.com draft analysts. So it's like, it's all just a game, really. But, you know, whatever fills the time of our meaningless existence until draft day, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to shit on people for actually spending their time doing it, because I do things that people probably think is stupid,
yes,
too.
You
like,
do.
Everybody
do.
Does.
100%.
But, you know, there's a difference between doing it and then doing it and saying, hey, look what my mock draft, look at what I did. You know, I got an A+ grade from, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, nobody cares. Like, it's like your fantasy football team. Nobody cares.
This is probably a good time to bring up that I had an idea for the podcast that we should do before the draft, a live mock draft here with the four of us. So, you know.
Yeah, I can't do that. I don't know anything about any of the players.
I'm going to be doing shit like, I think that dude has a cool name. I'm going to pick him, because I don't follow college football prospects and their draftability. I watch good teams play college football and hate my life because I root for a team coached by Will Muschamp. So I don't really care about college draft prospects.
That's fair. Is there anything else we want to touch on?
Nah, we should wrap it up, because it's been a pretty long show.
Yeah.
And it's getting late.
All right, well,
dang,
yeah,
it is
late. Getting
late.
From all of us here at the Keep Sounding Podcast, perfectly timed by Billy, this is Brian, joined by John, Brad, and Billy, and we'll be talking to you about draft and free agency throughout the next several weeks. So keep listening, Keep Sounding Podcast, and have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
See you.
Later.
Keeps the football, takes off to the end zone for the touchdown. He takes the handoff and he scores. Avoided the Dolphins behind the line of scrimmage and took it in for the first touchdown of the night.
Newton keeps, lowers his shoulder and takes it in for the touchdown.
On second and goal, shovel pass for McCaffrey, touchdown. And off dive for Jonathan Stewart, and he's in for a touchdown. That's intercepted by Keating. He has more of those than any linebacker in the world.